Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
All right, in this episode, we're reviewing Under the Dome, the new serialized TV show from CBS.
Yeah, it's based on a book by Stephen King. And you have actually read some of the book, at the very least?
I've read over half of the book. Nice. I'm working on finishing it right now.
It's a fairly large book, too, right?
It's like 800-something pages long, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. I, on the other hand, have not read it, haven't read a single lick about it, and so, you know, kind of judging from, you know, our attitudes towards the thing, you probably have a little bit more backstory knowledge than I have.
So. Right. So let's dive into the spoiler-free section of this. We'll do a spoiler-free, as always, and
right on.
Then a spoiler-ish kind of, like, overview. I think we can probably do a lot of this spoiler-free.
I think so, too.
Going into this, I think we both agree that it was kind of rushed, you know.
Yeah.
It felt rushed. We're going into this and, like, honestly, you know, as far as the book goes, like, this first episode probably, I didn't look back exactly, but it's probably a good almost fifth of the book already. That's already happened in this first episode. Like, there's so much character development and just story exposition that happens until this point in the book that you just didn't get in the TV show. So it just felt really abbreviated. I don't know. Like,
for sure. Just, you know, and it was kind of one of those things that, like, I don't know. This is going to be kind of an ensemble show is kind of the way I would look at it, where it's like, there's multiple characters. And so some of my favorite ensemble shows and the ones that are done the best are, by comparison, like Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well as, like, The Walking Dead, which is on now and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are two, like, pretty ensemble-ish shows.
Battlestar Galactica.
And I feel like both of those on their pilot episodes, they started off with something that you could grab onto. You know, a Lost start off, you're pretty much dealing with Jack the whole episode.
Right.
And as well as with Walking Dead, you start off and you're pretty much with Rick the whole time.
Right.
And so I feel like they really didn't do anything to, like, make me care about any of these characters.
Right.
We jumped around right off the bat. For the first 10 minutes of the show, we were jumping around just getting bare bones information about seven or eight characters. So it just kind of moved very quickly.
Well, that's kind of how it is, you know, with the book as well. You know, but they take it almost chapter by chapter, you know, like, you know, you spend a big section on this person, and you jump over to this person and then jump over to this person. But, you know, they spend a lot of time on those characters. It's not like here and then here and then here. It's none of that.
And also, I mean, the difference is between writing a book or reading a book and that medium versus television and something that's a screenplay. It very much, the author can tell you what to feel and what to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with television, you either do or you don't.
Right.
And with movies, you either do or you don't. It either communicates well or it doesn't.
Right.
And I feel like just the kind of pacing of it, I only, like, even by the end of the episode, I only care about two of the characters on there.
Right.
And I feel like the first episode, they would have probably done a lot better by focusing more on, you know, a smaller number of characters.
Right.
And developing them.
Right.
You know, making me care about them.
Yeah. So. Again, we'll bring it back to Lost. You know, I compared it to Lost as well because it feels like that kind of a show.
Yeah.
It's trying to be big. There's a mystery box involved, you know, like what you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it just feels like that kind of a show, and, you know, you just don't feel any attachment. Now, like, I was able to, just from reading the book, I have all this, you know, character backstory, and I kind of know what's going on.
Right on.
Whereas, you know, like, so I kind of came from that perspective, so I kind of liked it.
Probably more than I did.
Probably more than you did,
right. Because you could understand it a little bit more.
Right.
And that's the thing, you know, it's like the actors, it was no fault of the actors. There were some amazing actors in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my favorite, like, TV actors that are very, like, they're not well known and that sort of thing. A lot of them, you know, one of them was from Lost, the sheriff, and then the councilman. You know, he was a great TV actor. I mean, everybody in here is doing a pristine job.
Right.
I think it was just they didn't have enough time to develop the key plot points to me to keep me interested. But that's not to say this is a pilot, and it felt very much like a pilot.
Right.
You know, where it's like, again, I'm comparing this to two of my, you know, to Walking Dead pilot. That was incredible. And then the pilot for Lost was incredible as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, outside of those pilots, I mean, they're very rare. Arrow was another one that impressed me a lot, the pilot of Arrow.
Yep.
But I mean, it's like, outside of that, pilots kind of just are very much, they don't really necessarily communicate what the rest of the show is going to be.
Right.
They're just built there to get people's attention. You
in
know?
The best cases, they do.
Yeah.
In the worst cases, they don't. And I feel like, you know, hopefully that the pace will slow down a little. Now that they've gotten through a lot of material, you know, the pace will slow down. We'll have some character development. We'll see some some conflict and maybe some development. So let's just, you know, kind of give a, you know, like the basically basic plot, you know, if you've seen any of the previews, is there's a small main town, there's some people there, and, you know, there's some supernatural. I don't know how far spoilers we want to get. It's called
Under the Dome. Okay, a dome drops over the town.
There's a dome.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just get that part of the way.
That's it. Outside of that, our spoiler clock is almost down. So
yes,
you know.
All right. Well, yes. Well, let's go ahead and give it a rating.
Okay.
You know, the premiere. This is the premiere, not the series as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll come back and do the series
as far as
the
pilots
whole later.
Go. I would say that we'll just review it as pilot, right? You know.
Right.
So what would you call it, Chris?
I don't know. I would say definitely watch it if you're interested in sci-fi and Stephen King stuff.
You know, I would say watch this one and watch the next one for sure, because it's like, it's summertime. There's not a whole lot else to watch on television, you know, so let's give this thing a full shot here.
Well, and it got a lot of ratings. It had, you know, 2 million people watch the premiere,
which is
really good for a middle of the summer TV show.
Yeah, for sure, man.
All right, so now we're going to jump into the spoiler section of
this
review.
Yeah, so turn it off now. If you haven't, if you care about being spoiled.
Yes, we will spoil you.
We will spoil you for sure. Not the way that grandparents spoil their grandchildren.
No,
this is
the bad way.
This is like the way that milk gets spoiled and cheese. Ooh.
Oh man, that's gross.
Yeah,
all right, so this is happening.
Style. All right, this is happening in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right.
Spoil us, Chris.
A spoil? There's a plot afoot, and there's a lot of fuel underneath the town. I don't know how spoilers that is. That was terrible.
I would have said something about like the at the end of the episode that one dude gets his pacemaker blows up.
Yeah, which honestly
one of my favorite characters on the show.
Yeah,
he just gets his pacemaker blown out of his chest.
One of the actors you mentioned, in fact.
Yeah. One of the lost actors. One of the guys who's on Lost. I mean, it's just like the show is crazy.
It's the sheriff. He's the one that happens to.
And let's just kind of go down from the top. The speed, the pacing was off. One of the reasons for that was because they had a lot of setting up to do before this dome dropped.
Right.
Because like there's a girl who there's a lot of mysteries going on. A girl who has some medical issues. She has like asthma, and whenever the dome drops, she has like the seizure.
Are you talking about the girl in the car?
Yeah.
See, I was going to go back. I don't even think that those people existed the way that they existed in the show.
You don't think they did in the book?
No, like, I don't remember exactly, but I think that girl was like someone who worked at the diner or something like that.
That would have made way
more
sense.
Along with Angie.
They weren't just transients through the town.
Right.
These were people, you know, there's quite a few characters, like we said. So I mean, they had to set up quite a few things before the dome dropped, so that when after it dropped, 10 minutes into the episode, things get crazy, you know?
Right.
And so some of the things that they kind of had to set up was that she had asthma, that this little girl had asthma, that that the sheriff has a pacemaker.
Nori is her name.
And that he has a pacemaker, that one guy's crazy. Junior's crazy.
See, this is the thing, you know, like, you know, and part of... There's already big differences between the book and the show. Not in the sense of, you know, like, you know, in The Walking Dead differences.
Yeah.
But... differences nonetheless. Like in the book, Junior takes a lot more time to
goes nuts.
Yes. And you can hear his thoughts, you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Like in I don't necessarily want to spoil something if they're gonna reveal it later. But like he's just crazy. He gets headaches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like he is crazy.
Okay.
Like
I mean, like the time that whenever you realize in the show that he's crazy. I mean, first of all, he grabs his girlfriend.
Angie.
Yeah, grabs Angie. Like and she like slaps him and stuff. And it's like at that moment I was like, well, I don't really like this guy.
Right. You already know you don't like him.
You just don't like him. But then whenever it gets crazy, it's like, how does he know how to handle a switchblade knife that way?
Right.
You know, that's whenever you know that he's, you know, kind of I think I wrote down a psychopath and he's gonna be a killer. You know,
right.
He's just crazy.
Right.
Which I guess every small town underneath a giant dome needs
a psychopath,
homicidal psychopath, you know.
Yes.
But then the other thing they had to set up was the reporter, and basically they had to set her up as, you know, kind of investigating this propane thing. They're bringing in a bunch of propane for what was it, the town's emergency like stock or something.
Right.
Like
her character's name is Julia Shumway. And the other thing about this is, you know, like this doesn't even come up till like way, you know, a good almost a quarter of the way through the book, you figure that start figuring this kind of stuff out. So they're jumping right to the chase here.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I mean, I guess they were trying to whet your appetite very early. And they kind of shotgun approached it where it's like, hopefully you connect with one of these characters.
Right? Let's just throw it all out
there. Yeah. Let's just throw it and hope it all sticks. I mean, it's just like, hopefully you attach to one of these characters so that you'll keep watching as opposed to making you connect to one of these characters.
So do you know who the main character is?
Man, I really, I don't know. Barbie is probably the guy in my mind.
Yes.
And that's who I feel like we should have stuck with, just like we stuck with Jack for Lost. You know, I feel like I was intrigued by his story and the reporter. You just said her name.
Julia Shumway.
Yeah, Julia. Yeah. I was like, those are the two people that I really connected with. Them and the sheriff, but the sheriff's dead now. So. Right.
Which is actually better because this is the thing in the book. You know, those are the characters. Those are the main characters. And those are the people you're supposed to connect with. So I'm glad that you connected with them.
Yeah.
You know.
I just wish that the other characters hadn't gotten in the way.
The other crazy thing is, you know, like the difference from the book, you know, the sheriff does not die like that in the book. He dies that same way. But what happens is, like, the plane crash happens. Mm. He's at his house hanging out with his wife. He drives off, you know, to check out the plane crash. And like almost as soon as he gets there, he touches the dome and his pacemaker explodes out of his chest.
Mm.
And immediately, like, the town is thrust into this, you know, oh man, what's going on kind of thing.
R1 authority figure is gone.
R1 authority figure is gone. And then, like, you know, you'll probably see this next episode, you know, like, and they kind of fed into it. Big Jim asked him if he needed more help, you know, and you know, that kind of comes into play later.
Oh, man.
You know, and
see, Big Jim scares
me. With the sheriff gone, there's nobody there to stop Big Jim from doing whatever he wants.
So right off the bat, I mean, the actor that plays Big Jim, he plays a bad guy a decent amount.
Right.
And like, so immediately you kind of just don't like him.
So did you know that he was a bad guy? Like, you could tell.
Not off the bat, but I mean, it was like, I think what cued me off to it, what really like clued me in was he's sitting there at the diner, no one else is there, and she asks him, hey, you know, are you not going to go out with him, with the other guys to the other town? All your firefighters are going over there. Why aren't you going over there? And he was like, I'm just, you know, they gave me the night off. And then she said something about the man who wears many hats. And so immediately I'm thinking, this guy, you know, is involved in so many things here.
Right.
But then whenever it really did was whenever Barbie came back into town after burying this body, they make eye contact, meaningful eye contact, and I was like, they know each other.
But I don't know that they do. Like, I don't remember. I haven't made it to the end of the book.
Yeah. They made kind of this meaningful eye contact.
They did do that, but I don't know why. I think maybe it was just kind of an identifying factor because, you know, they're just noticing each other or something like that.
Immediately, though, it kind of set me off because Barbie didn't seem to like him. And I was like, okay, so, you know, is this guy related to why Barbie was burying a body in the woods? Or, you know, is this guy mob? What's going on here? So,
well, the other thing is, you know, in the book, you know, they almost right away, they bring up the same kind of point that he wears many hats. But beyond that, they go into, you know, how he's just connected throughout the town.
Yeah.
Like, he's a town councilman. He has his fingers in everything.
Yeah.
Like, he knows everyone. He's grown up there. Like, he is basically the man behind the curtain for this town. He is Oz in this town. You know, he knows everything, controls everything, and, you know, may or may not be up to anything. You know,
for
it's
sure.
just kind of like, you know, he's up to a lot.
For sure. Well, I mean, there's definitely some really cool things going on. As far as Junior's storyline goes, I was shocked that he was the councilman's son.
Right.
That he was Big Jim's son. And that made perfect sense to me whenever they put that into the storyline. I was like, oh, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, that his dad is this big guy in the town and he's a, you know, homicidal psychopath. So.
Right.
Another character I wanted to bring up was the cow.
The cow. Well, we can talk about. Let's talk about just the dome. You know, maybe let's just talk about the dome in general.
Okay, the dome drops. It was pretty epic the way it dropped.
Right.
Like it just pounds into the ground there. I mean,
it
obviously dropped.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like it came up from the ground. It went down to the ground.
Right.
Which I thought was kind of possibly through the ground. Yeah. I can't imagine that they would have not tried to dig under
right.
it.
Right. It goes through the ground.
Yeah.
We'll just lay it out.
Whenever the dome drops, the only thing that I really kind of was kind of flabbergasted by, there was a couple moments. One was that the cow got cut directly in half from nose to tail. Like a cow just happened to be standing directly perpendicular. You know, it's like, The chances of that happening would just be outrageous.
You know, that doesn't really... Yes, you are correct. But, you know, A, it's a TV show. B, it's a Stephen King TV show.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, it really doesn't bother me. Yeah, like, okay. It was kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it didn't look realistic, but it was kind of gory. And, you know, for CBS, it's kind of like, this is about as far as we can push it. And so, you know,
the bloody hand on the dome was really cool, though.
Yeah, the bloody hand, and you know, and something that they, you know, talk about in the book is the fact that, you know, it, like, there's a lot more like bloodiness, obviously, and there's just like the dome starts becoming, you know, like you can see it rather than it's invisible
because it
people
gets
touch it. Yeah, it gets dirty, and you know, so it becomes.
I could see
it
that.
Becomes over time. It starts becoming more of a barrier,
more
which
of
is
like
cool.
A wall.
And I'll be looking to see, you know, I'll see if they play that up because it. I think what it does is it makes it, you know, more apparent, and people just kind of just feel more trapped whenever it's visible.
I imagine it would
invisible.
Get closer and closer. I mean, I like not like it gets smaller, but like if you just can't see through it as well,
right.
It would just feel like you're just the walls are closing in on you a little bit
right.
more. The only other thing about the dome dropping that I kind of was like they didn't ever really establish, other than the fact that the name of the show is called Under the Dome, you never saw any characters going, wait, how far does this thing go to the left and how far does it go to the right? Whereas like immediately what I would have done is take off in a car driving around the thing. I feel like
you want to know what happens in the book?
Yeah.
First thing Barbie does is starts walking along the edge of the dome. And actually,
what I was
going to bring up, you know, like Barbie, the dome comes down, Barbie and this other guy.
Is the guy saved from the plane falling down? Which was also kind of awkward to me.
Saved from the plane? Oh, from the plane. No, that doesn't happen.
Oh, okay.
There's some people who live in a farm by there. I'll have to go back and look, and maybe I'm wrong on this. But what I remember happening is that someone on the other side of the dome comes up and talks to Barbie through the dome.
How? They can't hear.
Well, in the TV show, you can't hear.
Oh.
Through the dome, and they start walking the length. They just start walking around the dome because they're like, well, let's just see what's going on here.
Yeah, and so you eventually get all the way back around to where you started. And
right.
You're like,
I don't think they get that far, but they figure out that it's pretty much closed off. They run into some people, and it definitely takes a long time, longer time to get all this going and all these people to know each other. And in this one, it probably took about a day in the book, but there's a lot more that happened.
Well, a day is 24 hours long, and we only had, 42 minutes or so, whatever a hour-long television show is these days.
So that happened in the there's a lot of things about this that coming from the book is like okay it makes rational sense in the book.
Whereas because I haven't read the book, it was kind of one of those things where I just had that question immediately where it was like, well,
why don't you just walk to the side and see where it goes?
Well, they just assumed, they just kind of basically they assumed that it was a dome from
right,
the very beginning. It was like, oh, we're trapped, and I'm thinking, how do you know this isn't just a wall?
Right.
But I mean, I did like how, like, on the show, everything, you could tell that the dome slanted that direction. Like,
right.
On the one side, everything was, on the ground or cut off. But on the other side, there were things leaning against it and stuff like that.
Right.
Where it was like, you could tell that this thing definitely has a dome kind of shape to it.
Right.
Another thing I actually enjoyed was whenever... Julia and Barbie meet for the first time. That was kind of one of those moments where it was like, okay, this is really cool, because they actually did start walking sort of around the thing. They never really established that they were, doing anything about it, but we just always assumed that this was a dome and we were trapped immediately. So
the other thing that about Barbie that we'll see if they bring up, is that he's actually been in the town for a while. He like has an apartment there. Like he's been there for a minute. But just nobody really knows who he is. And so I don't.
Well, it seems like this town is a fairly well traveled town. There were like three visitors in there. I mean, it was it was him, and then it was the that other couple and their daughter.
Yeah, whatever her name was, I can't remember at this point.
The girl with the seizure.
Right. So we saw two of those happen. We saw her have that seizure and say something about the stars in the sky falling in lines.
Yeah.
And then who else did that happen to? That happened to somebody else in this episode.
Did it really?
Uh-huh. It happened twice.
I didn't catch that.
It happened at the end.
I don't remember.
It happened at the end. Right at the end. Oh.
Oh.
At the bridge. Or at the... Yeah, at the bridge, at the end when they're having that party.
You're right with that kid. He was the kid that he saved from the plane, wasn't it?
Joe McAllister.
Yeah. there are so many like mysteries going on that that's what's keeping me intrigued.
Yeah.
And then the two characters that I actually connected with are keeping me going.
Right.
All the other kind of storylines and subplots that kind of they introduced, you know, shotgunned right off the bat, you know, I'm kind of either, neither here nor there about yet.
Right.
I think that they definitely could develop into something really cool, and that's why I'm going to be watching.
Right.
You know, I'm super pumped for the rest of the series. We're excited to get off of the pilot too.
Right, and see what an actual like normal episode looks like.
Yeah, and the guy who plays Barbie is also he's a really good actor.
Yeah, I thought everybody did a really good job.
He's been on Pan Am. He was on wasn't he on Cloverfield as well?
I believe he was. Yes.
Yes. And so yeah, for sure. I for sure enjoy like a lot of the things that are going on, and then those two main people that I connected with, I'm pretty sold on. Do you want to go ahead and just do our like some light speed ratings? You rate it, I'll rate it. That's the situation.
Yes.
And we'll just view this as one episode, as a pilot. You know, as far as a series goes, we have no idea yet. There's no way we could possibly rate it.
Right.
At this point. So. Right. What did you think of the pilot?
8.0.
Wow, okay.
All right, what did you think?
As far as a pilot goes, I would give it a 5. Kind of middle of the road where it's like, hey, this isn't bad, but it definitely could have been better.
Right. And see, that's interesting just because of the large gap in like knowing the backstory and not knowing the backstory. And that shows that they didn't really do a good job at developing these characters in this pilot episode.
Yeah.
And hopefully it gets better. But
I can't imagine that it wouldn't get better just because, like I said, a lot had to happen before they dropped that dome, and they wanted to drop the dome in the first 15 minutes. I mean, that's what you want to drop it in the first quarter of the show.
Right.
Because it's called Under the Dome.
Right. So. Well, I'm interested to see where it goes because it's a really intriguing place as far as, you know, the town goes and the town dynamic.
There's a diverse amount of people, obviously.
Yeah, and we'll see, you know, we'll see how much of that they can bring out. Make sure to check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast and on Twitter, it's at stayontargetpod. You can also find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com. All right, well, that's our review, and we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target. Target.